And joining me right now here on the Mark Moses Show to go latest on Florida Gator football as the team wrapped up spring practice on Saturday with their annual spring game. This guy was there. He does a great job covering the Gators with High Top Sports. He's David Soderquist. David, how you doing today?
Good, Mark. Just coming back from the spring game. Long drive for me, of course, up in North Georgia. But, man, I'll tell you what. Like, usually when I go down to Florida, it's pretty humid. It's hot. The weather was nice. Friday was 77. Saturday was 80. It was a really, really nice day to see a spring game, enjoy the festivities around there.
All right. You had about, I know there's a number, over 40,000 at this game. What was the crowd like there when the Gators took the field?
Yeah, it was around 48,000, I think, estimated there. I mean, it was pretty lively, of course, everybody anticipating, DJ Lagway to see how he was going to do. And he was actually pretty impressive. If you look at it, he went 12 of 21 for 173 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. It garnered a little bit of a national attention there from some of the On3 staff there. They're talking about DJ Lagway and how well he looked at just as a freshman. Of course, he's not completely polished, the inexperience there. But, I mean, he made some really phenomenal, great throws, great accuracy, had 2 touchdown passes and really good, quick decisions in the pocket as well. Not to trail off too much and talk about Lagway, because he was probably the talk of the town there at that game. But that crowd was pretty amped up. It was pretty ready, man, especially for the meet and greet afterwards there from Florida Victorious as well.
You bring up Lagway, so the question then is, how important is this guy to the program, and especially the coaching staff?
I'd say very important. I mean, you got one more year with Graham Mears. If something actually happens to him on the field, I mean, you have DJ Lagway, you have a couple of the transfers you brought in to create some depth there. But, I mean, DJ Lagway's a really important piece. I mean, the intangibles that he just has, just, from all the awards he won in high school, and then you see him play. And, like, a lot of people were like, start Lagway now, start him now. And of course, you get those types of people in the crowd. Of course, Graham Mertz will start for the Gators, the more experienced quarterback there. But, I mean, you look at it and you just go down the roster, the quarterback depth. And I'm not trying to take any way away from the transfers that we brought in. But, I mean, they're not on the level Graham Mertz or DJ Lagway is right now. And he's a really important piece. And I think, really, you might even see him in some situational plays here during the season when maybe you need a good running play for 3 or 4 yards, maybe throw the defense off a little bit. I mean, just from what I've seen as a freshman, he looked pretty polished. I mean, Florida only had 4 penalties for the whole spring game, and I think 1 came from his side. So, I mean, just looking at what I've seen, of course, as I said, they both, Graham Mertz and Lagway, threw 1 pick. It's actually good plays by the defense. I think Mertz's throw was a little bit more forced, and I think that's why there was a pick there. But, I mean, overall, you look to see those kind of mistakes from a freshman, but you didn't really see a lot of those mistakes from him. And just the accuracy and the touch that he had on his passes, I mean, that's something we haven't seen at Florida in the longest time, probably until Chris Leak was here in 06 and 05. So you're looking at that, you're like, wow, if something were to happen to Mertz, I mean, we might still be a little bit in good hands there with Lagway, even though he's just coming in here as a freshman.
He's supposed to be a senior in high school right now, which still blows my mind. I get it. He enrolled early. We've seen this over the years with college athletes. I've asked you this question before, David. I'm going to ask it again after the spring game. He's not starting week 1. I agree with you. Mertz is going to start that game against Miami there at the Swamp. But is it important that this guy gets on the football field this year, especially with the transfer portal, where you never know with these players moving forward?
Correct. Yeah, I think it is important, especially just for some experience for him. And just, as I said, his intangibles. I mean, they're too hard to pass up, just the way he throws the football, his running ability in the RPO offense, the strong arm that he has. I mean, we saw him throw a 32-yard pass to Taylor Spirito that was right on the money, and it was accurate. We saw a long 60-yard touchdown pass, but that was from Graham Mertz. And, you just see where, the connection he had with Aiden Mazzell. And as I said, hardly any situational things that went on, hardly any penalties. I think, I'm not going to, jump. I don't like to look too much into a spring game because it's just spring game. Everybody's playing themselves, and the rosters were drafted and mixed up. So a lot of people were playing with ones, twos, and threes that they've never really played with. But just for what, you know, how they structured it and how the rosters were, he did pretty well. And I think that's really impressive. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, he only had 70 yards less than Graham Mertz. Similar completion ratings, maybe. One more touchdown, and he threw a pick along with him, too. So, really, I mean, I'm not going to say he's better than Graham Mertz because he obviously still lacks the experience. But, I mean, Lagway really impressed. I mean, if you went around and you looked at Twitter and some of the things that some of these national media was actually saying.
Look, I've told you this off air, where the last couple of months, if national writers don't know what to write about, they'll just rip the Gators as an article. And I'm friends with some of these people, but I've seen this where it's like, if you don't know what to write about, I'll say this again. They just rip the Gators right now. But you're right. After what we saw on Saturday, they're like, oh, wait a minute. Don't you feel that way as well? Where it's like, oh, wait, the Gators might have something here at the quarterback position with Lagway. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to get too excited about it, but, yeah. Like, in the back of your mind, just what you saw in the field, you're thinking to yourself, well, yeah, exactly, you're thinking we might have something here. I mean, I've talked about, you know, Luke Del Rio looking good in his spring game, you know, going 100%, I think, and threw for 200 yards, and Felipe Franks looking good in a spring game, and not to take too much away, but this just feels a little bit different. I mean, just how he had played and how mature he looked when he went out there on the field, and just, as I said, the intangibles. I mean, it felt very different to me. I don't know about you, but it felt very different. Of course, I still try to, you know, temper my expectations because it is just one spring game. But, I mean, you gotta tip your hat to DJ Lagway. He really stepped up there as a really young kid and delivered.
Does he have his own, like, clothing line at a store on campus? What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, I was there Friday, and shout out to my buddy Brian, the owner over there at Alma Mater over there off 3427 West Newberry Avenue. DJ Lagway's apparel actually showed up the day that I was actually visiting there. I got to talk to his agent for a little bit and all of that. But, I mean, you look at some of this gear, and you can get it through the open source app as well. I mean, the designs, and they still didn't even have some of the designs in store yet because they're still trying to, you know, process going through the sizes and the designs. But I know on Sunday, he said on Saturday they were going to have more apparel there. But if anybody's, you know, around the Gainesville area, you haven't stopped by Alma Mater, 3427 West University Avenue, just they have some phenomenal apparel in there. The designs are awesome. Brian's a great guy, too. It's the Lagway apparel, man. I wanted to get some of it, but it wasn't available at the moment because they were still waiting to get all of it in. But definitely next time I go down there, I'm going to have to get me some.
What a world we live in, where an 18-year-old who hasn't even played yet has his own clothing line. What?
Like, the day and age of NIL, Mark.
Yeah. David, did you have your own clothing line when you were 18 years old?
No, I wish I did. But if I did have my own clothing line, it would all say I just report the news on it somewhere.
That's what it would be. Oh, man. Oh, that is crazy. All right. Who's the number one target then? The quarterback, we know the starters. We know the back is right now back up. Who's the number one wide receiver for the Gators going in the fall then?
I think you obviously have to point to Eugene Wilson, especially at what he did last year. He had 8 catches for 128 yards this game. He had that long 60-yard pass from Graham Mertz. So I don't think anybody is staying, you know, is beating Eugene Wilson out for that position. Also, like kind of what Khalil Jackson did. He had 2 catches for 60 yards. He had that big, long 50-yard pass. And Taylor Spirito didn't look too bad either. I know he probably won't. He might. I don't think he's going to at least break that starting lineup, but he had 3 catches for 40 yards, and he had a long pass, or he caught that long pass from Lagway for 32 yards, and he had a touchdown. Marcus Burke, he's shown flashes, especially here in the spring. He had 3 catches for 63 yards, and caught a 37-yard pass down the stretch there, too. So I think when you look at it, my lineup, to be honest, and Aiden Mazzell was impressive. I know he only had a catch or two for like 22 yards and a touchdown, but if you were to give me my lineup right now, and I think Florida will dip into the portal for an experienced wide receiver too, and from what I've heard. But if you were to give me a lineup right now, I'd probably pick Eugene Wilson, Marcus Burke, Khalil Jackson, and Aiden Bazell right now to get my four lineup there. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to beat anybody out or be the starters as the season goes. But I think you got Eugene Wilson pretty cemented for a starting role there at the wide receiver spot.
All right, if you're playing the Gators, am I just double-teaming Wilson and making these other guys try to step up and beat me then if I'm another team?
Yeah, that would be smart. That's why I'm thinking that they go dip into the portal to try to find a more experienced wide receiver who has made big splash plays and who knows, the game back there, probably to help out and open up things for Eugene Wilson there. And I think it's just the unknown that you have with some of these receivers who haven't really started, like your Marcus Burks, Aiden Mazzells. It's not really taken away from the fact that, they don't have the talent or they can't come out there and start. It's more the fact that it's like the unknown. What's going to happen on game day? And I think, getting an experienced guy in there maybe from the portal would probably benefit Florida too. And I think Khalil Jackson will also get a starting spot there too. So I think maybe you got two guys that you might can pinpoint and say, okay, these guys will start, but then the other two spots, maybe you bring in a transfer guy, or maybe these guys crack the starting lineup and they're there for the first game of the season.
We're here with David Soderquist, High Top Sports, talking Florida Gator football. They wrapped up spring practice this past Saturday. All right, running back position. You don't have ETN. He goes to the rival Georgia. All right, so what is your depth chart then at running back?
Right now I got Montrell Johnson, of course, at the starting running back spot. He had consecutive 800-yard rushing seasons. He didn't really rush for a lot of yards in this game. I think he only had like 17 or so yards. But we all know what Montrell Johnson can do once game time comes. This guy shared carries and had 800-yard years, and you're going to think, okay, well, maybe if he gets a little bit more carries, can he crack that 1,000-yard that was set by Kelvin Taylor back in 2015? But I was really impressed with Jaden Ball this game. 12 carries, 77 yards. He had his longest run was like 25, and I think that boded well for the defense because there wasn't really that many extremely big running plays. I think the defense did very well in the tackling game. But Jaden Ball, you look at him, he's 6 foot, 238 pounds, and he has very good patience. He sees the hole. But I think what really impressed me was his power, but the way he was able to shift for being 238 pounds is really impressive to me. So I was impressed with him. And also, and this is a guy you probably never even heard of, Jacoby Jackson. He had 5 carries for 60 yards. Jaden Ball, he averaged 6.4 yards per carry. Jacoby Jackson, he did 12 yards per carry. He only had 5 carries, but still, you have to look at that and say, okay, well, you made a name for yourself in the spring game. But when it comes to the depth chart and the lineup, right now I'd have Montrell, just based on what I've seen and what I've heard from spring camp and what I've seen in the spring game, I'd have Montrell Johnson 1. Right now, I have Jaden Ball probably leading that charge at number 2, but I do think that Trayel Webb will have a say as far as, being the backup based on experience and his speed. So, and I've heard from a lot of people that were in these practices that Trayon Webb is starting to look like the old Trayon Webb before his injury in high school. So if that bodes well to be true, I would probably put Webb in that second spot, but and Ball a close third. But I think right now that second spot's between Webb and Ball.
Follow up then, are you concerned about the offensive line or do you feel confident going into the season?
I can't say I feel confident about the offensive line going into the season. I think they played pretty average. There was some times where Graham Mertz, he had time in the pocket to throw. That's how we got that deep ball thrown out. But then there was times where I was just saying, man, they're still getting manhandled. But at the same time, you're looking at it and you're saying, well, LJ McCray made plays and Quincy Ivory made plays. George Gums, we heard a lot about. Pup Howard and just some of these guys that are on the edge and some of these defensive linemen, you heard a lot about them during, obviously spring portal period, but they were pretty impressive as well. But that's the only thing I took away from that game was I really wanted to see more of an improvement for the offensive line. And I think I saw some little bit of flashes, but I didn't really see anything overall that would make me say, oh, this is a vastly improved offensive line. I think that, I would say if you were to, if you said below average, average, or above average, I'd probably put them like right at average because I didn't see anything that was some massive breakdowns like last year where Mertz was getting pressured like every play.
Yeah.
So I'll give them that, but I didn't really see anything to where I was like, completely impressed. Now, they did open some holes for the running backs, but other than that, like, I still want to see a little bit more. And you got to think, this is spring camp. This isn't, we're not even in fall camp yet. So, you know, you don't know what will happen portal-wise, spring portal theory. You don't know how these players are going to develop and how they're going to figure things out towards the fall either.
We're here with David Soderquist, High Top Sports. Let's go to the defense. Defensive line, what are your thoughts on the depth on this team?
Oh, man, the defensive line is the position I'm more excited about than anything else, and just the depth-wise with the talent and all that. I mean, between the orange and blue team this game, they had 7 sacks. And I think, I remember, I was listening to Gators Breakdown. I think they said that, or Dave Waters had said that, yeah, just 6 sacks from one side of the spring game record, or tied the spring game record. So, I mean, for the defensive line to be able to still get pressure and still obviously get sacks in the game and all that, that's something you'd like to see, of course. The big takeaways from that is who was on the offensive line, who was playing. And as I said, these rosters were all mixed up, so we may not even get a good gauge of where some of these defensive linemen are or some of these offensive linemen are. But I know that one side had some of the most of the talent. I think that was the orange team, but they did pretty well. I mean, like you said, 7 sacks, tackles for loss, and you know, I think the tackling overall, just in the backfield, I didn't see a lot of missed tackles if you looked at it, Mark, because, like, I was in the crowd. I had to talk to a lot of people were coming up talking to me, but when I went home and I watched the actual whole game, I did not see a lot of missed tackles.
Oh, people are coming up to talk to you, Mr. Celebrity. Is that what's going on?
Well, it was wild, man. I think I got sunburned, Mark, and you know, like I was talking to people. I was out there on the field for the Florida Victorious meet and greet. I had these wristbands on from the Townsend tent, and then I was over at the Florida Victorious tent, and I think I've got a sunburn for about 5 days here that I'm actually dealing with right now. I've actually got white stripes where I was wearing those wristbands, but no, I mean, The turnout, the live show we did, just the overall, like, just the fans coming up, wanting to take pictures, talk. Like, High Top's really taken off, and I have to give a shout-out to the fans out there. It was great. It was phenomenal. So I did catch a lot of it live, but I also had to go back home and watch it to get just a good gauge on what really happened during that game.
My favorite part is the Gator fans are so rabid, and I love them. The game ends. Someone already uploaded all the clips to YouTube. It's fantastic. I was like, God bless you. It's the best.
I don't know how they do that either. It's like so instant now. Like, I guess you get a video capture card and you could just capture it and upload it right away.
It's like, yeah, you're right. The spring game's like 2 hours long. And I'm telling you, the game ends and there's a dude, just some random Gator fan. It's already a 20-minute video breaking down everything. Then there's another video. Here's all of DJ Lagways. I'm like, thank you for doing all the work for me. I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I will say people like us do appreciate fans that do that for us because it makes the game more condensed and we can see every play.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You know what's funny about you is you got all those sunburns. You're probably going to be sore for a couple days. You'd do it again, wouldn't you? You'd do it.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
You would. You talk about Victorious, the NIL. Was there like a meet and greet with the players after the game? What happened?
Yeah, so Florida Victoria has put on a meet and greet event for all the players and for anybody that signed up to Florida Victoria as members, or if you weren't a member, you could pay $30 and get a ticket as well. A lot of people signed up, and I remember talking to Jen, who is the events person that works for Florida Victoria. You said over 1,200 people signed up for that event, and I was like, wow. So if you went on the field, they had tables surrounding the whole field. And they had every player at a table with Gatorade and water. And they just had lines to where you could come up to each player, take a picture, get a couple autographs. I mean, it was really cool. And, of course, they had Billy Napier's line right there in the middle. He's got to be king of the table. You know, you got to be right in the middle where that field goal line is. So his line was pretty long. I got a video over there. The event staff let me go and get a video there. And the longest line there was Graham Mertz, Lagway, and Billy Napier.
You know what's funny about Napier? He's taller than you think in person. Did you notice this?
Yeah, when he came to the Atlanta Gator, I think it was called the Atlanta Gator Gathering. This was a couple of years back when he was doing his speaking tour. They came to Sandy Springs, Atlanta. I actually got to get beside him and shake his hand for a second. And I'm a short guy anyway, but
oh, come on.
That guy has to at least be 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, he's taller than you think. What's Lagway like with fans just talking to him? What's he like?
Oh, very friendly, man. Like, you could tell he's done it before, I'm guessing, in high school. He was such an anomaly. People wanted autographs from him in high school.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you're the number one quarterback. You get all the TV attention from ESPN and all that. You're obviously going to be approached by people and probably want to be taken pictures with and all that. I think he looked very, very used to it. He was very friendly. He was talking to kids. I think one guy got a video of him getting an autograph with his kid and how friendly he was. He was smiling and he made jokes. And, you know, the event was great. I didn't get to really stay too long at the event. Me and the guy I traveled with, I was staying with, he had to go. He had something else that they had to do. I had to ride up there with him. But I got down there. I shot a lot of videos. If you go on my Twitter, yeah, @HighTopDave, you'll see a lot of the videos that I shot down there from the Florida Victorious meet and greet event. And I got to talk to a few players, and even Jeremy Crawshaw came up behind me because I was wearing a Punters Are People t-shirt, and he's like, you know, I got to sign the back of that thing. And of course, I wasn't going to turn that down, so he signs the back of that.
That's really cool.
It's pretty cool. It's a pretty good event.
I like you're on the field. It's interesting how you said, you know, the weather wasn't bad. Dude, when you're in that field and it's 90 degrees for kickoff, it really is the swamp. I don't know how those players play in those conditions. It's insane how hot it is there on the field.
Yeah, see, like, I got sunburned because, obviously, I haven't been out in the sun until it hasn't warmed up here enough in North Georgia. Now it has, but, you know, I was out there on the field, and it was 80 degrees, and there was no humidity. But, like you said, when you step out there on the field, that's just a different type of heat. It's at the bottom, and you got to think, these kids are wearing uniforms on top of that and playing with helmets
it's
on
nuts.
And mouthpieces in there. So you could imagine, like, some of the conditioning and cardio conditioning they have to go through to handle, so, like, the heat and the humidity.
It's amazing. All right, what do we need to check out as you guys are going to be recapping the spring game all this week?
Yeah, we'll be recapping the spring game here on Wednesday. We're supposed to have a couple of guests on High Top here Wednesday, 8:35 live, and I'll be writing an article, my takeaways from the spring game there on the High Top side. I'm still finishing up that article, but I'll have it posted here shortly. And you know, if you want to follow me, obviously you can follow me at High Top Dave. You can follow the podcast page on Twitter/X at High Top Sport. And yeah, man, I can't wait to get back down to games though, man.
You're ready.
So much fun, and I can't wait for the first game of the season.
And I know transfer portal's open right now. You guys are going to go over the latest on that. His name is David Soderquist. Great job, my man. Thanks for coming on. Have a great week.
All right, you too, Mark.